I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm doing something unusual here. I'm having a red wine chaser after a coffee.
What?
Yeah, because, well, I thought we owe it to our listeners to admit that we're doing a nighttime podcast, which is unusual for us.
The lesser spotted evening recording, yeah. It's good that you put that context on it so people don't think that you've started on, like, you've just opened a bottle of Shiraz at 9 a.m.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not mad. I'm mad. Ooh, no, it's night. It's Smith and Sniff after dark. AD.
I'm not drinking because I'm in sole charge of my children, and this is also why I'm sitting in my office where at home I'd normally sit in the spare room, because it's a more damped room because it's got carpet and things in it and a bed, and my office is very echoey. So I have put the ironing board on my desk and then slung the spare room duvet over it to create a sort of rudimentary recording booth.
But do you look like I nearly said naturist, I meant naturalist. I still get those things wrong. Sorry. I mean, like a Steve Backshaw, not a wrong'un in the back of an escort van exposing himself. You know what I mean, don't you?
There's a very sort of hide, like nature hide vibe to it. Have I told you about when I met Steve Backshaw?
No, I like Steve. Well, I've never met him. I've got no idea what he's really like, but I reckon he's brilliant. What is he?
I've
like?
Never met him either, but I was at a thing. I was at a book festival, and I was in this sort of drawing room of a large house where the festival was based, and I saw him and realised that we had a mutual friend, and I thought, I didn't really know anyone else there, so I went over and I said, oh, hello, we know the same person. And he went, oh, yeah, we had a nice chat, but then in order to go and speak to him, and then we were getting shuffled out of the way, and we ended up sort of behind a sofa between the wall. The sofa was about 3 feet away from the wall, and we ended up shuffling further and further down, and so we were sort of trapped behind the sofa by people at either end who were in little knots having other conversations, and we ran out of things to say.
Oh no, you were boxed in.
But we couldn't just, it was far too complicated to go, anyway, it's nice to meet you, I've just got to go and have a shit or something. There was just a moment. He rescued it by going, anyway, it's really nice to meet you. I think I've got to go and do my thing now, because he was doing a talk.
I bet he wasn't. He was 2 hours away from doing his talk.
Yeah, wasn't he? He wasn't doing a talk at all. He'd done his talk. It was also made difficult because they'd given us some exquisite china, like cups and saucers to drink tea out of. It was a little afternoon tea thing. And
lovely. Sweet.
Drinking from a slightly overfilled teacup when you're standing up,
yeah,
really difficult. You're going to get a saucer of tea, and then the bottom of the cup drips onto things when you drink from it, like the back of a sofa.
It's better than meeting somebody that you need to make chat with, or that maybe you're a bit starstruck by. And if it's an evening doing, maybe you're consuming alcohol, you're doing the speed drinking thing, aren't you? You're doing the sort of, like, you know what I mean? You're not hypermiling. The throttle's open unnecessarily, and you just keep gulping a bit more than you ought to. And I've been there and I've done that. And then you think, oh, hang on a minute. I've done way too many units in the last half hour just because I'm nervously chit-chatting. Don't want to do that.
You're my friend Welsh Mike, who used to have a Mini, an old-school Mini in the 90s. And then we hired a Fiesta to do a long journey in it, which had a 5-speed gearbox, a luxury he wasn't used to, and so he just simply refused to acknowledge the existence of fifth gear unless I badgered him into using it. We did a lot of motorway miles, which just going,
oh no.
I was like, put it in fifth.
Well, you would say he's a top gear avoider. I could say he's a fifth gear avoider, and therefore that would be our snare and cymbal moment, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, no, power drinking. I did that at a 60th birthday party a couple of weeks ago.
Power.
It was a free bar, and I just kept it pinned in third.
Oh, right.
For a lot of the evening when there was no need. They weren't going to run out. I didn't need to. But it was also that, just I got overexcited because there were lots of people I haven't seen for ages at this thing. And I'll do another name drop, actually, because I did.
Can you?
Steve Backshall. I'll do. This is my second name drop of the night.
Oh, man, stop it. You're VTECing the names in.
I know.
Aren't you?
Just gonna slot this one down into second to really take a run at it, the name drop hairpin. I ended up haranguing Alex James, the bassist from Blur, about why Blur weren't reforming.
Really?
Yeah, but I think he'd been attacking the bar quite heavily as well, so I don't think he'll remember. But yeah, it was about half an hour, I think. My wife estimates, and it was about half an hour of me just going, now look, the thing is, yes, you've all had solo careers, but they haven't been as good as Blur. And he sort of politely went, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's funny. It's very odd it's that you mention the bassist from Blur tonight, because I was actually airbasing to Girls and Boys this morning, coming back from the school run. I was using a little bit of self-steer on the car. you know what I mean? You got it in auto, what's the name, and it's correcting itself.
Is it, though?
Yeah, no, of course it's not. But the point is the bass to Girls and Boys is such a fine bass line. It's wonderfully intricate. I love it. It's one of my favourites.
It's very Duran Duran, isn't it?
It is. It's all over the place, but it's still tight. And I thought, this deserves... It's a slightly Partridge thing to say now that I'm saying it out loud, but I think I had to do a touch of air bass. But we were coming up to some temporary traffic lights and it was on self-steer mode. So bollocks, go in with it, go hard. And I did. Imagine filling out the insurance form. So hang on, you actually you glided up the side of a couple of girders and a neighbour's wall. What were you doing? I mean, what happened? You weren't travelling very fast. Thing is, Blur's Girls and Boys came on, and I just absolutely like dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun
It wasn't good enough. Is that what you say?
If some algorithm picks up on it and goes, that's copyright infringement, I'm going to say without the other elements of the song, we're okay.
You're going to say that's...
don't do it. It's
okay. No, you're going to say, not being funny, but... Because you'll start with that, because that's a sort of school argument. Not being funny, but I was talking to Alex James the other night and he drunkenly went, listen, you can, anytime you want an airbase... vocalise that track on a podcast, it's fine with me. I'll put a big tick next to that.
We did swap email addresses, but I can't remember why.
What?
We swapped email addresses and then he just went, I'll just email you. He just emailed me a single letter, just the letter F or something.
What?
And the next morning I went, ooh, why have I got this? And I spoke to my wife and she went, you swapped email addresses with him, remember? And I was like, but why? And she's like, I don't know, you thought we're chatting all sorts of shit. And she went, and then a few days later she went, have you emailed Alex James yet? And I was like, well, no, because I don't know why I should be emailing him except to apologise for harassing him about reforming Blur.
Well, you know what?
I haven't.
I've got a great idea. You could say, look, I know this is perhaps embarrassing and I hope you don't take offence, but I run a Tim Pop podcast and I referenced the conversation with you the other night. And here's the link to the podcast. P.S. It's actually, it does all right for itself. Really enjoyed the bass chat. And that's it, really. Big long pause. Don't know how you put that on the email. And then thanks, Richard.
Just hit return loads.
Yeah, thanks, cheers. Richard. Thanks, Richard. Bye.
Do people ever write ATB instead of all the best?
Oh, I've not seen that.
No, I've not either, and it just feels like it's there for the taking. I mean, I'm not going to do it because at the same time I think it would make me feel a bit queasy, but it just ATB.
Didn't they do a dance track?
it does feel like that.
I think they did. I'm going to go on.
Oh, you being serious? I was going to say, who did 9 a.m. till I come, or whatever it was called?
It is 9 p.m. till I come. So by ATB at the
Really?
All the best. Yeah, yeah, ATB, 9 p.m. till I come. And I reckon that was...
Was it p.m. or a.m.?
Oh, shit, I don't know. Time zones.
9 a.m. GMT, but actually I'm...
I was going to say, what is it? Yeah, I was going to say, is it British summertime? And I'm not quite sure. Anyway, whatever. Let's do it
Spring
till late.
Spring forward, fall back till I
It
come.
Was, it, and it came out in 1999. The year Ooh. Of the Honda Insight launch.
Well,
let's just later. Keep bringing it back to cars to make sure it's definitely yeah. car-centric broadcast.
Someone last week accused us of doing an entirely car-based podcast and asked us not to do it again.
Seriously?
Yes, please stop.
What, was it a bit stop too that. Car-y?
I think so, yeah. I guess so. I don't know. Was it too car-y? I can't remember. Feels like a long time ago.
It does. Now, we've had a stressful week each so far. Hence, nighttime recording cause no time left.
Oh, bloody hell. I had to go to the bank. One of the reasons I'm a bit stressy is because we're moving house imminently. And I had to go to the bank and transfer some money.
What, like a lot?
Quite a lot of money. Yeah, like a lot of money. Like the most money I've ever transferred in my life.
Oh, gosh.
And all I could think was... Imagine the cars I could buy for this.
Oh, gosh, don't. I've
just,
done
just,
that.
You know that thing where you're walking across a bridge and you're sort of thinking, wouldn't it be really stupid to just throw my phone in the river now? And it was sort of like that. I was like, wouldn't my wife be really cross if I just walked out of here and went straight to a car showroom and just bought three or four cars for no apparent reason? And then when she went... Everything okay with the house move? I'd have to go, no, we're not moving anymore. But on the plus side, look what I've got.
I'd love that. That sounds amazing. I might do that.
It was just that little lightning flash, that little devil on your shoulder.
What would you do then? What would you have bought today, apart from going to the bank? What would you have dissuaded you? Come on, talk to me. We're all thinking it as we listen.
Nothing new, because you wouldn't be able to get it straight away.
Oh, no, you'd have to do credit signatures and bollocks like that.
Well, yeah, but also just, you know, supply problems.
Oh, there. Yeah, you so wouldn't get it instantly.
Sort of second-hand stuff. I don't actually know. I don't know what... There was nothing specific in mind. It was just, it was the theory, the sort of... This is a lot of cash that could just go towards...
Oh, there's some people I know who've got some cars, and I'd be like, right, I'm just going to phone them up and go, look, I know I always said, please let me know if you ever sell it, and I always admitted to you I wouldn't be able to really afford it, but today's the day. You're going to sell it to me. I can afford it. Let's do this. No more pissing around.
Or I suppose I could have just taken the amount and gone up to found Alex James's house, farm, whatever it is, and gone, right... There's cash on the bonnet here for this. Get Blur back together now. Ring them now.
I'd love that. Right, Alex, I'm here. I've got a cheap briefcase. I've clicked both of the latches and I've lifted it up, and inside's £46,000. Get Blur together now. He'd just look at you and go, I made that last month from basically doing nothing. What are you talking
about? Actually, you owe us that for copyright infringement on the baseline from Girls and Boys, Tim Pop podcast.
Oh, you're Bobbins. Bobbins.
Yeah, that's the thing. It wasn't. Although it was a lot of money to me, and not a lot of money split four ways in a very successful band. I don't think it would even buy you a one-off gig with them. I don't know what the going rate would be.
I don't have any connection with Blur apart from the fact that they used to be my favourite band, and I did a TV series with the guy who ran the production company shared a plane with Dave Rowntree, the drummer from Blur.
Oh.
And he was moaning one year when him and Dave had to split the costs of repainting the plane. Talk about first world problems. It was just amazing. I just looked at him like, yeah, I'm just hoping my car will pass the MOT. I mean, that's all I can thrust into this conversation. But yeah.
Funnily enough, Dave is now a lawyer.
What?
I know this, yeah. He quit the music business and became a lawyer. And I read that when the last time Blur were together and they toured, he had to take time off work to do it.
What?
He's got a proper job now. And this is what I was telling this to a mate of mine who is also a lawyer the other day, and he went, oh, yeah. He said, I went to a conference and spoke at some conference where Dave Rowntree from Blur was there.
Oh, my gosh, I was not expecting... Yeah. That's a really... I mean, that's nothing... You can't just slip into that. You've got to be quite...
No, it's hard work.
Mm.
But that's the thing. I think he's a lawyer and he does a lot of sort of legal aid stuff. He's not one of, he's not like a fat cat lawyer. He's a sort of, you know, fighting for the little guy kind of lawyer, I think.
That's,
but a
that's
lawyer
brilliant.
Nonetheless.
That's brilliant.
So there you go. On drums and legal advice. Oh, shit! Alex will be able to go, how much can I charge him for that bass line?
Does he fight strictly 90s cases, do you think? Or maybe a just slightly pre-internet cases?
He's just slowly working through the lyrics to Park Life.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
So you're saying you were rudely awakened by the dustman. Right, I think we've got a case here.
What, by a guy moaning and driving around in a Granada coupe? But loudly. Okay, right, that's it.
Now,
let's take him down.
I've got a question for you.
Have you?
Would you say controversy or controversy?
Oh, I'd say controversy, I think. But okay. I'm questioning myself as to why.
Yeah, me too. I think we might have talked about this before. I think controversy. I don't know now. Controversy. All right. Well, we're going to go over to Controversy Corner.
Oh, sugar. Plum fairy.
Because
I'm not ready.
Your remarks last week about air conditioning.
Oh, no.
And the not using of.
Yeah.
Sparked fury amongst some of our listeners.
Oh no! Have I peeped? Is Team Richard now significantly bigger than Team Johnny? Have they gone over?
I mean, I don't think that it's drawn on those lines. In general, I think this is a bit of a single issue sort of situation, and I just happen to be on the side of righteousness. I'll start with Earl. The guy in Alabama who sent us the original email that triggered your sharing of opinion. Earl just wrote back and went, well, I expected a soapbox, but I didn't expect a personal attack. And his previous email was signed, Love the Show, Earl. This one is signed, Like the Show, Earl.
Earl. I bet he's a Patreon as well, and he's basically just, he's upped his bags and gone.
This was an email rather than a Patreon message, but
I pay you $1.87 a month, and that's it. And I'm going now. I've stopped, and I'm going.
Yeah.
Oh, Earl, listen.
So
Earl.
I have written back to Earl, and I've apologised. Or did I? I can't remember. Anyway,
actually used the aircon this week, Earl. I'm gonna confide in you. I've closed the curtain, and I'm talking to the person, the priest, and I'm gonna put my hand up and say I used the con 24 hours ago. I like to call it Con Air because it makes it sound a little bit more special. But I used the air con 24 hours ago because I was driving to a shoot and it was exceptionally warm and I had a passenger on board who I knew would want the con. And I felt obliged, a bit like, you know, when you host someone in your house and you might do things that you wouldn't do, but maybe you realise that normal people do that. So therefore, the majority vote...
Putting trousers on.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of thing. And you're like, yeah, because there's others doing it, and I'm the weirdo, and I realise that because I'm old enough to know that now. I'm going to put the con on. So I stuck the con on and directed both of the outlets at waist height over to the passenger because I knew I didn't need it. Is that good of me? Well, I don't know why we're having this.
It's very thoughtful.
And on that basis, Earl, I'd like to give you a virtual hug. Hang on, just put my head. I'm just hugging the microphone to say, listen, it's not worth feuding over. This is not AC Bloods and Crips. It doesn't need to be like that. It's not that.
I feel
that.
Like it is, though. Well,
it was. I feel bad now, so I'm trying to be warm about it. If you know
a bit
what I
too
mean.
Warm about
or
it.
Or maybe a little bit cold about it. Do you know what I mean?
So in your camp, there is a chap called Thomas on the Patreon who said, I'm siding with Johnny on the aircon debate.
Yeah.
None of the cars I own have it. To be fair, one of them doesn't have a heater either. They've always considered it to be modern witchcraft.
Oh.
So that's... You've got Thomas. Thomas is this. Like, this
so
is
hang
like
on, I've got one. Yeah, I've got
on
one.
Playground game of football.
Yeah, so you've got the full... You've got the Premiership League, and I've got... No offence to Thomas. I've just got Thomas. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you see, now, on my team, I've got...
Thanks,
I mean,
Thomas,
I assume Earl is on
Patreon.
My team, if he's still speaking to either of us. But also on the Patreon, Martin L. Now, Martin is a long-time listener, a long-time patron. Hello, Martin.
Hi, Martin.
It's been a while since I've posted on here, but I just wanted to pop up and say that Johnny's thoughts on aircon are the ramblings of a psychopath. Why stop at removing the aircon? Why not get the seats and steering wheel upholstered with the skin of an agave cactus? Is it agave?
Yeah, it is. Yes, I think so, because that's the worm they
put with the word algarve. Yes,
the algarve worm. I've been called worse.
Instead of a gear knob wrapped in rich Corinthian leather, just mill it from copper and have it permanently wired to the battery. Encourage manufacturers to offer a bee pack. Nothing special here. When you collect your shiny new car, it's just full of bees. Thousands of them, and they're all really, really pissed off. I think Martin's being a bit sarcastic there.
I think Martin's really, really quite witty.
So, yes, well, we knew this. That was, and then I'll do one more. Alex Brunsden again.
Not Alex James before. From Blur.
No, he's not emailed again, strangely.
Okay.
He says, Johnny is, of course, entitled to his brackets bizarre opinions on why he chooses not to use the aircon, but for me it's a simple choice. Do I want to be hot, sweaty and gross in the car, or cool and comfortable? I'm always going with cool and comfortable. Yes, there is the matter of stepping out from your air-conditioned cocoon into the wall of heat outside.
No, it's wrong.
Still preferable than stepping from one oven into another oven.
No.
So
I disagree with that, I'm afraid. And I'll slip in a conversation I had 15, maybe 17 years ago in the pub with a friend of mine who I will codename Cadfile, not his real name. And Cadfile once said to me, he said, you know when you're single and you try and work out what the best tact is when you're out on the town as a single man, how are you going to net the perfect lady? When I say net, I don't mean actually kidnap, because that's dark. Mm. You know what I mean? And he said, so one day I was working all day outside labouring, and I got a last-minute call from the boys when I was tired. I was just starting to have dinner. They were like, come out on the town. Come on, do it, Cad. Of course, because he's called Cadfile. Come on, do it. And he said, no, I'm out. I've had enough. I'm tired. I'm fed up. And they were like, well, we're driving past your house. We're going to pick you up now, you know, like in a minute's time. And he said, but I'm still wearing the gear that I was out labouring in. I'm sweaty. And they were like, doesn't matter, you're coming out with us. And he's like, well, I got no money. It doesn't matter, we're paying tonight. You're coming with us. You know, there was no excuses. He was out. So he went out on the town with perspiration on board. And he said, I had three extremely attractive ladies that night coming on to me strong. And he said, it was the pheromone.
Oh.
And I said, what do you mean? He said, it wasn't old perspiration. It was sweet and it was still fresh. It was okay. And it acted as a pheromone. He said, I had no time to wash. I had no time to put fresh clothes on. I was fresh from the fields. and as a consequence, it was like moths to a flame. Honestly, he says that he maintains this. And right. I mean, he's come out with some incredibly strange stories since, which I don't entirely believe. One of them involving, and I'll never forget it, he had a Toyota Corolla that he famously drove extremely hard everywhere and never serviced it. He bought it brand new and he never serviced it for about 10 years.
He bought it brand new and then didn't service it.
Yeah, honestly, he had it for about a decade, never serviced it. And one day the oil light came on the A1 on the way home. And he said, oh, don't worry, it's just one more junction. And got home to it sounding very clattery. And the next day it didn't work. And he called the garage down around the corner, and they came and picked it up, and they went, yeah, it's seized, it needs new engine bearings. And he thought to himself, what do I do? And he said, well, it's been so good to me for 10 years. I've abused it so much. It's been good. And he called it the King Rollo. He said, I'm going to treat the Rollo. And he said, go on then, do what you need to do. It's a bottom end rebuild. Mm. And he had the bottom end rebuilt, collected it from the friendly garage, okay. And they said, OK, we'll phone you and we'll send you the invoice and you can pay if that's OK, because our lady who does all of the office work, she's actually just gone home for the night. And he was like, that's no problem. You know where I live. I'm just two roads away. What happened? They never contacted him, ever.
What?
They never, ever contacted him they never charged him. They never asked for any money, and he never asked.
Forgot.
Yeah, and he never reminded them. So he got the Rollo serviced, very serviced, FOC, and it ran for quite a number of years again. Until he traded.
Did he learn his lesson about servicing a car?
No, because do you know what he did? Oh, he Partex'd it for a Focus ST, the five-cylinder, and he ran it out of oil, and it lunched itself, and he basically gave it away because it was worthless at that point in time. So there we go. Then what's the moral to that story? I don't really know. I don't know. I just thought I'd share it.
Check your oil is a good place
it's
to
true.
Start.
It's true. My dad always said it. He always said, check your oil. You can check it every day if you want because it takes a couple of minutes and it's free and it saves thousands. And I'm like, it does.
I was going to say, you can't check your oil too much, but actually, I think you can.
Really?
Because, yes. Who did I know who had an RX-8 and they were neurotic about checking the oil? But then actually they got water in the oil from checking it so much that the condensation in the dip tube.
Seriously? Over-checking? I thought you meant if they were wiping the dipstick, that small quantity of oil from the dipstick, if they were to do that, say, several hundred times a week, that's actually half the sump gone.
Or if you wiped the dip every time with a slightly fluffy rag, introducing microscopic amounts of fluff into the oil that over time would cause the engine to go wrong in some weird way.
Yeah, or imagine, let's say you've been playing in a sandpit just before you check the oil and you wipe the dipstick like an old school man, just using finger and thumb and not actually using a rag or a piece of kitchen roll, and you're introducing sand into the engine every time and thus destroying the engine that you keep over-checking.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, yes. Or you've just been putting, you just, every day what you do is, you have a little routine, you eat a packet of Walker's Salt and Shake crisps.
Yes.
Or any crisps. Actually, you just eat a bag of crisps.
Okay.
And there's salt on your fingers and that goes down the dip tube and then the engine has a heart attack from an unhealthy lifestyle. But then so do you.
This is amazing.
I just want to read,
I love all of this.
One more message from a listener called Dean, because I think your air conditioning remarks particularly riled up our American listeners.
Oh gosh, please, American listeners, I'm sorry, I was out of order.
Earl obviously is out of Alabama. We also have a message from Dean. Dean says, Johnny, respectfully, as a lawyer who has to be in a suit every day and daily drives a 996 in Houston, Texas traffic, fuck right off with all the seat talk.
Dean's just gone in there, hasn't he, with an uppercut.
I know. But what I loved about that is, yes, lawyer. Ooh, lawyer. Yeah, educated professional.
I love
suit.
That.
Ooh,
oh,
responsible.
Ooh, Dean,
996,
the lawyer.
Connoisseur of the Porsche. And then he just goes, fuck right off.
Do you know what, Dean? I can say, again, this is interesting that you've contacted us, and thank you for the retort. Twice this week, I feel like I've inadvertently been stalked by someone in a 996. Middle-aged man, don't know if you are, Dean, doesn't matter. But the point is said 996, it's appeared out of nowhere when I've been either walking near my house or I was filming at the side of the road trying to get some static shots hastily of my Honda Insight. And I heard it before I saw it because it was ticking. And it, I think it's got the death tick, and I think the driver doesn't realise. And I'm now thinking that it's a bit like, wasn't it the crocodile from Treasure Island?
Peter Pan, yes.
Peter Pan, it was ticking, right? Because it swallowed a clock or something, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I'm thinking this is some sort of like Peter Pan 996 that's following me around because I hear the tick before I hear the actual engine and I keep going, ooh, what's that? And then I see this silver fox driving around in a 996. It's basically, he's got a grenade in his hand. He's pulled the pin up, but he's still clenching.
But he's still having a chat about golf clubs with his neighbour.
Well, and he doesn't realise the pin's fallen out. He didn't pull it, did he? It's fallen out, and he's still chit-chatting, and he's got something in his hand, and he thinks it's a fidget spinner, but it's not a fidget spinner, is it? It's a death device.
I thought, I have this I have said this to people, and people have gone, oh, can you buy a 996, or is it just going to go wrong with that thing they all do? And I've been saying to people recently, I think most of them have been sorted by now, because it's such a well-known issue. But I guess not.
I can't remember how much it costs to do, but it's the sort of thing, if you're buying
97 quid. It's not an issue, it's just not... No, I don't know. I imagine,
you know what I mean? Like, let's say it's 1,000 quid, right? It's as soon as you buy the car, it's like doing a cam bolt. If you care about the car and you're going to drive it places and you need it to have your back, just do it, because it's actually money well spent.
Yeah, it's like when I bought my Jag XJR, and those cars were generally considered to be pretty robust, and mine was great, never gave me any trouble, but. When I first got it, one of the sort of famous weak spots, or the weak spot, was the apart from the cylinder walls. Yeah, they weren't liners. That was the problem.
Is it nickel wasn't? Yeah,
nickelback. Yeah, the nickelback issue. If you weren't careful,
that's right.
A fucking awful sound came out of the engine,
and it was it the saliva of the lead singer.
It was just the lead singer.
What was his name? He had a very American name.
Chad Croker, was it?
Was that it?
I think so.
Chad,
which is like literally no one in Britain is called Chad.
No, there aren't. Honestly, I don't think there's any men called Chad, or women, for that matter.
There should be like, you know, how many left, that website that tells you how many cars supposedly
I know where you're going.
There should be one for how many people are called.
Horace. How many men are called Horace in Britain? Or, I mean, honestly, how many people are called Horace?
I don't think there's... Well, how many left would be the question, wouldn't it? Because you're like, well, I don't think there's any, because that's an old man name, isn't it? Or is it? I don't know.
I think so. Of course it is. Of course it is. Well, put it this way. Dean in his 996 is going to be listening to this on his way to a serious case. Could be Amber Heard, who knows? But Dean's going to be listening to this, and he's going to go, "Oh, I know a Horace." His neighbour illegally cut down a redwood tree from his garden, or it's on the border, and they're going through quite a serious legal case right now, but that he simply can't talk about. But Dean knows. Dean will know a Horace, and maybe another listener will. Won't he? Oh, there is a Horace who is a Smith & Sniff listener.
If Dean is in Texas, I think the Horace that he knows has a lovely, luxuriant white moustache and wears one of those, what are they called, those little leather shoelace tie things?
You know? Oh, the bootlace. Yeah.
The gentleman of a certain age in Texas, I like to imagine, or wear. I'm sure they don't. With my Jag, though, I had the water pump changed.
Is it plastic on those, or is it...
Yeah, plastic, and also the cam chain tensioners, plastic.
Oh, yeah, and they seize, don't they?
And they seize. So precautionary measure, had them done. But when the Jag specialist did them, he went, actually, the ones we took out were fine. But I was a bit like, well, you know, if I hadn't had it done, they'd have gone. I just looked this up as well. RPM Technic, a Porsche specialist of some repute, say that it's about 800 quid plus VAT to do your IMS bearing if it's completed at the same time as a clutch change, which, you know...
It's probably 12 grand.
Sorry, the clutch is £25,000. It doesn't actually say, anyway.
I don't like to keep resurrecting the same conversations each time because we sound like a stuck record, but you know, I found out recently that Singer, the Porsche reimagining specialists, their UK arm is based in Bristol, and I realised suddenly that they only use a 964 Porsche. Does that mean, are they part of the 90s quarter, or did they lead this 90s quarter?
It all makes sense. They're really based in Bristol.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, which surprised me and also impressed me because of the fact that you're moving near there. So you're going to have to buy. You've just got money out last night or tonight because you delusional idiot, you're trying to buy a Singer Porsche, aren't you? And you've told your wife that you're buying a house in the country, but you're not. you're buying a backdated 964 with crocheted leather. That's what you're doing, aren't you?
This has reminded me of a listener's email. Andrew Kennedy hello. Oh, Andy, he actually signs. Let's be friendly. Andy sent us an email entitled Most Bristol Thing Ever.
Gosh, I'm looking forward
to
this.
He sent us a picture. I'll put the picture in the Patreon. But Andy says, your thoughts on Bristol as being stuck in the 90s ring true for me, having lived there for a few years for work. I found it eye-opening. Everything from an overheard conversation in a gym changing room on how it was fine not to see your children at Christmas, as it was simply an overpopular convention.
What? What?
To everything from that to the picture I took below. The picture is of a busker, but rather than the normal out-of-tune guitar and rough dog, this one had an electric sitar and a bird of prey. And you scroll down, and lo, these things are true. He's sitting outside. I can't quite tell. It looks like it might be Sports Direct.
What? And no!
He's got a frigging bird of prey on a perch and a bloody great electric sitar, and then a very, very small, comically small, what looks like it might be a folding bicycle, but it looks child-size, and some kind of sort of rug.
Oh, of
in
course.
Front of him. But there's a tiny little speaker in front of him. So
what, like one of those ones from a 90s PC computer that you latch onto the side of the monitor?
Like a half-scale model of the kind of like the monitors that you'd have at the front of the stage at a gig. It's like one of those. And the guy is wearing what looks like a very scratchy jumper. And also, I can't look at the picture, he's sitting cross-legged on something. This is just...
It just sounds like a piece of art made on Photoshop. I've got to see this.
I have to ask Andy to go back and take another photo of this guy with today's newspaper and shop.
Yes, I was going to say.
No evidence that this wasn't actually taken in 1996.
No, this is pre-internet. It's not a phone camera picture, this isn't.
Yes,
it can't be.
The Pentax, what?
Well, you can't get one out in the street in the certain area of Bristol. If you display openly carrying a smartphone, you get taken down.
Yeah, you get burned as a witch.
A really small bicycle, a very large sitar... Because sitars are all large. Last time I checked,
it's really large.
Right, and you've got a falcon or something kicking about.
Is it a falcon or a kestrel? Maybe I don't know enough about birds of prey, but it's a beautiful creature. But it's also sitting on a perch in what looks like a shopping precinct next to a bearded man with a sitar. Genuinely extraordinary.
I want to know how he gets it all home. Because if the bike's really small and the sitar's massive, and a bird of prey is something that needs to be looked after. You're not messing around. You can't just, like, put it in a bag, can you?
What's that? It's my bag of bird.
It's my bag of kestrels. I think I saw that. They were supporting Smashing Pumpkins in 1993.
Oh, shit, I've left my bag of kestrels on the bus. I've just zoomed in. Oh, bloody God. Hell.
Is he wearing a smock? An Aztec smock?
He's wearing a very scratchy but slightly cable-knit cardigan. He's shoeless. And the kestrel is on a perch, which I think is behind.
Is he sitting in front of Singer Reimagined?
Oh, my God, I've just worked this out.
What?
I think he's sitting on one end of a metal box. He's got a sort of rug. Like a flight case. The other end is exposed. It's metal. I cannot figure this out at all. It's got Omnivibes written on it. That's all I need to tell you. It's got Omnivibes written on it.
Omnivibes? Oh, hang on. Is it a 90s car... audio amp, you know, for big sounds. One of those really long ones. It looked like a griddle. They're actually an Alpine amp.
No, it's not. I mean, if you ever need an incentive to join our Patreon. This is surely it. The picture will be on the Patreon. It will not be available for general consumption. So get in there, smithandsniff.com/Patreon. That's right. We're trying to extort money out of you now.
Oh, my gosh.
In return for a picture of a man with a sitar and a bird of prey.
Outside Sports Direct. What?
It's definitely a sports shop. I couldn't tell you. I wish I'd zoomed in before I brought this up, because I feel like I'm just now uncovering...
You can't stop looking, can you?
I can't. I've gone really zoomed in now to get a better look at the bird. Oh. It's a beautiful bird. Lovely.
Well, you can't afford a bird of prey if you're a busker. I call BS on this one. This is amazing.
Would they be any more expensive to feed than, say, a dog?
No. I reckon a dog would be more, actually.
Also... yeah. If you got a long enough tether, you could let it hover over your back garden if you had one, and it could eat mice, and then you wouldn't have to feed it at all.
That's a really... So would it go up on the thermals?
Yes, but like a kite, because if it wasn't tethered, it could just fly away.
Yeah, so but you'd have to give it the incentives to stay. Okay, but it's a very long... Yeah. It'd be a ribbon, wouldn't it be a ribbon? Like a taut ribbon?
Maybe. That might look quite nice.
Yeah. A kestrel on a ribbon.
The trouble is, if it was on a ribbon and then it went for a dive that was a bit outside of, and the ribbon went taut and basically sort of then the kestrel just arced into the ground.
I can't believe we're talking about kestrels on tethers. This is ridiculous.
I just don't know. There's lots of green spaces in Bristol, aren't there? There's all sort of up on the Clifton Downs. So they call
you take it for a track day.
Take it for a little track day.
You take it for a... Don't you take birds of prey for a track day?
I don't know.
I reckon you could.
I mean, out in the Middle East, they let them fly, don't they? Because they're kind of like homing pigeons. They'll come back.
Yeah, well, there's all these bespoke cars that have been built for decades with kestrel seats and sunroofs, which allow, I don't know, buzzards to emerge from. It's a different world, obviously. It's not something I'm particularly familiar with. But I like the idea of a falconry seat, don't you? And it may be going a bit wrong when you're driving along. You know, like a very slow ejector seat, which is the sunroof peels all the way back and the seat just keeps telescopically lifting to the point where, the person who's driving your, ultra long wheelbase, eight-wheel drive Mitsubishi Pajero hasn't looked in the rearview mirror, and you're like 9 feet in the air on an office chair.
Shouting furiously.
Press the button. Get it back down.
And then just as you're going down, you get hit in the face by a loose kestrel coming the other
way. Yeah, because someone started throwing, I don't know, bits of mice.
Mouse bits.
Yeah, mouse.
Mouse parts.
Mouse.
That's the only thing. I think realistically, if you had a bird of prey as a pet, you're going to have a freezer full of mouse.
Oh, you're going to have. You are. Of course you have. You've got to have frozen mice. Yeah.
It's like people who have snakes as pets.
That's right.
Always have a freezer full of like some kind of house of horrors. Yeah, lots of gerbil spleens in a bag.
They also, I think, quite a lot of snake owners. In Britain, own a Supra, and in America, own a Trans Am. I think it's a prerequisite of being well into...
Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I do, actually. I do. I'd like to hear the listener's opinion on this, because maybe I'm going to get lynched again.
If you'd like to write in, it's hello@smithandsniff.com is the email address. hello@smithandsniff.com. And do remember to title your email, "I own a snake and I drive a ...
Yeah. And when I say Supra, I think Mark III, not Mark IV.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're going for boxy, not rounded.
I think if I know anyone who's got a snake, and I'm glad to say I don't, I think.
No, I used to know a guy with a snake, and he did actually have a Trans Am.
But, really?
Yeah, and he also had a very, very thick waistcoat. You know the ones that...
I didn't think you were going to say Yorkshire accent.
No. You know the kind of waistcoat which you would wear in warfare in maybe medieval times, that's exceptionally thick leather to the point where it won't fold when you sit down?
like a sword-proof waistcoat.
Yes, exactly. It's a stab-proof leather waistcoat. And it's got some really detailed engravings and embossments. Embossments, is that a thing?
Embossments, yeah, let's go with it. Yeah.
Embossments of, I don't know, it's depicting a scene on each side of the waistcoat.
Depicting a scene.
Of course, I know what it's depicting. It's depicting a scene of, I don't know, embracing or fighting with a snake. And there's nearly always a mermaid or a naked lady entwined with a viper or an anaconda or whatever it might be. Pick a snake, I don't know. Yeah, well, it would be a venomous one because it would have its mouth open, wouldn't it? A sort of like Alfa Romeo logo way.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But I was going to segue this whole conversation that we just had about birds of prey into swifts. I woke up this morning and thought to myself, Taylor Swift, one of the most famous musicians on earth, yes. Is she related to the kings of auto testing, Russ Swift and son, I've forgotten his name. Paul Swift. Is Taylor Swift actually a really hot auto test driver?
I could picture her in a very short wheelbase old-fashioned Mini with all of the roof cut off.
Could you?
And a knob on the wheel. Yeah, why not? Shake it off. I shake it off. It just sounds like the kind of song.
She shakes it off because she
auto testing tempo.
Because she goes backwards at 35, and you have that really audible reverse gear going. What's the fastest you've reversed? Have you ever got to the limiter?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I always wanted to try and reverse. When I had that Nissan Leaf, I always wanted to try and reverse it really fast because the electric cars can go.
They have fast
in reverse, they count forwards, but they usually have a limiter on the
back. They have a limiter.
Remember. Did the Leaf not have a limiter, or is that they took it off to do a reversing record? I think it might be that.
That's a good question. And
there was a reversing record someone did with the Leaf, and I think maybe they just took the limiter off, because otherwise you could do, you know, theoretically you could drive at 70 in reverse, but the tank slapper you could get doing that is, it doesn't bear thinking about.
No, I was filming on an airfield last year and I had the Renault Zoe EV. And because it was a very warm day and it was extremely wide airstrip that we were filming on, I thought, do you know what, I'm going to see how fast it goes in reverse. And I hit the limiter quite early on and it felt safe, actually. I think
What speed?
I'm going to say under 30.
Okay.
But as you say, any inputs on the steering wheel when you're reversing fast are accentuated somewhat, aren't they?
Well, you're basically driving a forklift truck, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. You are driving a forklift. I've heard that forklift tyres are in low supply and high demand right now. You know,
really?
Yeah, they're not pneumatic, are they? They're solid.
Are they?
I've heard they're in precious. They're low stocks. Low stocks of forklift tyres. So, if you're a forklift owner/driver out there, don't do any burnouts. Don't be stupid.
They're solid because they don't need to have a soft ride. But you think they do need to ride a bit well, otherwise.
They don't need any give, because the problem is if you have give and you've got a heavy load high up, it will accentuate any wobble, any.
Yeah.
Which is why they don't have suspension, I don't think. But
I suppose also there's a durability thing, isn't there? Because if it's like you're working in an environment where there might be lots of dropped bits of metal and things,
yeah.
Less risk of puncture. Well, zero risk of puncture, come to that.
Zero risk of puncture.
Keeps you working, no downtime.
Driving back from a job the other day and all that, and I thought to myself, I'm quite near to the house I used to live in when I went to university, a.k.a. the House of Seduction, which didn't involve any seduction, so it was a very, very ill-thought-out name. But I went there and I videoed it and sent it to my mates that I used to live with there. And they thought it was, because that's the first time I think I've driven past it for many, many, many years. And it's the one that involved, I'm pretty sure it was a previous story that I've told, might have been when we did Smith & Sniff videos every week. involving me throwing a friend of mine throwing a chicken carcass onto the road in front of a night bus. it was a roast chicken. It had been eaten, a lot of it.
I have a memory of this story, but I thought it was that he left it in the oven just cooking for like 2 days by accident.
Yes, he did. He did. But he'd eaten some slivers of it. There was quite a lot of chicken still on the chicken. The other guy, Pete, just got fed up with the fact it was vile. It had been left for too long. So he just opened the front door and marched out with this tray with the chicken in and just launched it from the front garden. It went over the fence and straight into the road as a night bus was passing. And then he ran back inside laughing. Like we did, you do that when you're students, don't you? Because you're shirking responsibility. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
And there was
a bloke that I knew at university who was a bit of an oaf. He used to grunt a lot. He used to go, muh.
Really?
Like that. It's really bizarre. And that he lived with two other people that I knew in a genuinely disgraceful flat, like a disgusting property with a hole in the floor down to the flat below. It was a young one's spec, yeah. And one day this guy was, the washing up had built up to such a point they had no crockery left.
Oh, gosh.
Or cutlery. There may have been some kind of thing where this guy was basically, whether they paid him or he lost some bet. He had to do some washing up. And they were on the second floor. And if he got to a bowl or a plate that the food was just too stuck on.
Too bad.
He just started chucking him out the window.
What?
Into the garden below, yeah. So apparently he's just standing there going, muh, and throwing him out the window.
This guy was a hand dragger. A proper hand dragger.
He was a fantastic. He looked a bit like the bloke with long hair out of the Chemical Brothers, which I always found disorientating. Because
did he ever talk? That guy.
What, the bloke out of the Chemical Brothers? Who's not Ed? Was he Ed or the other one? He was the other one.
Oh, I don't know. All I know about the Chemical Brothers is they get into the back of a Sierra at the end of one of the music videos, and one of the albums features, I think, a Plymouth Satellite driving towards you. That's all I remember.
Tom was the other one, wasn't he?
I don't actually know. I don't know.
One of them went out or was married to Lily Allen.
Oh, really?
But the other one. You're listening to Smith and Sniff, home of vague, dimly remembered facts.
And usually ends up with 90s bands for some reason.
Some reason.
That's another 90s band conversation.
Well, they're still going, aren't they? So, sort of.
Oh, so they're not 90s then? Established.
Well, they were around in the 90s, weren't they? But then they sort of got big. And I suppose they did because it's. What's the album with the car on the front is Exit Planet Dust, isn't it? Which was huge in sort of.
Early 90s? Mid 90s?
I was when I was a student, so mid 90s.
I'm going to say 94. What are you going to say? Did it have Block Rocking Beats on it? That had Blocking Rocking Beats on it, didn't it? I bet it did.
I think that was Dig Your Own Hole, which was the next one, the one with the black cover.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I think.
People don't tune in to this podcast for 90s music trivia. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, yes, but we just keep going back to it. Anyway.
On that side
we should
things.
Probably start to slide the fader down on this one because I'm incredibly tired.
Well, someone's paging me, so I need to
paging.
Go.
Paging?
Yeah.
You're needed in Bristol
I'm
now.
Needed. I've got the... Yeah, they've shot a torch into the air like Batman, but it just says 90S.
It's just a picture of Dale Winton doing Supermarket Sweep.
With a clipper lighter as a necklace. That's we've all been there. We've all seen it. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to do one more thing. Read out maybe the next show. We'll read out some more messages from patrons because there's some excellent ones. But Martin Smith, who's long-time patron, he just wrote in and said, the collective noun for a collection of Kia Pride should be a lion.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought it was good.
A Lion of Prides.
Lion of Prides.
Do you know what? That would be a very rare sight in the UK. Very rare. I reckon there's less than, 20 left? 30? There's not many.
No. I mean...
I helped Kia find their latest acquisition for the Heritage Fleet.
Did you?
Yeah, I found it. It was for sale locally, and I actually sent a very urgent text message to the PR manager at a weekend and went, "This you need to buy now." And he scrambled the troops and bought it over the phone and sent a technician straight away.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's lovely. I've driven it.
Send up the Kia copter.
Honestly, it probably to scramble that kind of a team together probably cost thousands, but they netted the right car. They got that car and they took it back, and it's in the collection.
Does it have the white walls?
I don't think any of them have the white walls, but I've put them on to a guy who can paint white walls on to order, and he's very good, and it's a safe, durable method. So yeah, I felt a little bit warmth inside having kind of teed up that, because I was tempted to buy it myself.
You realised you'd sat on a plate of spaghetti bolognese.
I also, exactly.
Why is it? Sorry, I've got the giggles. Five people. I find people sitting on plates of food inexplicably hilarious. It's just such a shit but ruinous accent.
Do you know what? I was eating a sandwich while I was driving today, and I think that's classed as slightly illegal. I mean, you might correct me on that. I was eating a sandwich, and unfortunately someone cut in front of me, and I had to dab the brake, and I lost a sandwich down in the pedal box. Ooh. And I was really annoyed because I knew the floor mats were dirty and the sandwich had come into contact with the mucky floor mats, and I had to decide whether I was going to do the sweep any muck off very quickly and just crack on, or whether it was going to put me off and I was going to eat one of the two sandwiches I'd purchased from Little Waitrose, which is in Shell or might be BP, actually can't remember, but you know, it was road food.
As those road safety adverts used to say, only a fool breaks the 5-second rule.
Oh, yeah, of course. And they were referring to dropped food in the pedal box. That's right. We've all been there.
You may be tempted to brush it down, but stop. It's been down there for over 6 minutes because you were trying to get off a motorway. Only a fool breaks the 5-second rule.
Look, listen, stop. Here's the situation.
Guys, okay, right. Well,
guys,
anyway,
look.
It's quite enough of that. So, before we go, I have three things I have to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Rate Lakes Show, in which Johnny travels the world giving large bodies of water a mark out of 10. this week it's Lake Louise in Canada. Very worth a watch. If you don't want that, you can have The Late Break Show, which is even better because it's about cars. Got lots of good stuff on there. Review of the VW Multivan that I was watching the other day. Still want one. Still don't know why.
They're good.
Yeah, you didn't do anything to disabuse me of the idea that I think it's great.
I met a guy that spent £108,000 on a T6 yesterday.
What?
I'm still recovering.
Actually, we never talked about that picture you sent me of that frigging VW van that had no redeeming features.
The T4 that had been rubbed down to rust in places. And I think it had Viking horns on the roof rack.
Awful. And big mirrors for no apparent reason.
They've been pop riveted on.
Second thing I've got to tell you is that I have various books out. One of them is called Medium Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia. You probably knew that by now.
No, you've got a new book out. It's called Went to Buy a House, Came Back with Some Cars, Wife Now Left Me.
Yes.
Is it?
Sleeping in my Toyota Century. There's one on eBay at the moment. The path of righteousness is beset with temptations. The third thing I've got to tell you is we all remember Leslie Nielsen, the excellent actor from the Naked Gun films, and Police Squad and Airplane. What you might not know is that Leslie Nielsen's brother Eric was the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada.
Really?
Really, from 1984 till 1986 under Brian Mulroney. He was a Progressive Conservative Party MP and Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. Legit.
You do come out with some really good stuff. I'm impressed with you. I
like the slight tone of surprise in your voice. Yeah,
I sometimes doubt. I think he must be running out of material. But you're like a really accomplished comedian. You can get another one out and still bring the crowd down with laughter. I know.
It's like DJing with facts.
It is. You just faded up another banger, which not to be confused with a sausage or, I don't know, 70s films
cheap,
showing exposed lady
car.
Yes, exactly that.
So anyway, we won't go down that avenue. We'll simply say that thank you ever so much for listening. If you'd like to support us in a very literally financial way, then our Patreon is always open. Smith and Sniff. No, that's not what it is.
No,
what is it? Patreon.com /...
Oh, gosh.
You do this
if we
one.
We can't tell the listeners where to go. They won't know where to go.
Patreon.com /Smith and Sniff, all in words. And if you are a Patreon already, thank you ever so much for your support. We really do appreciate it. And we love your messages and the comments you leave under the show notes every week.
We're going to dedicate full episodes to answering letters at some point. The Patreon shop is open 24 hours a day, although I think sometimes it closes on a Tuesday between about 12 and 1:45.
Yes, but we leave an unspecific note on the door that says back in 5 minutes.
It's a post-it.
With no sense of when it was put there.
That's exactly what happens.
And obviously, if you want to email us, particularly if you've got pictures of extremely Bristolian things happening, it's hello@smithandsniff.com.
Please, no more references to "I know someone that knows a member of the band Marillion," because
no,
it's getting out of hand.
We're full to the brim. We have a Marillion amnesty. Right. Well, this is. It's outstayed its welcome by a factor of 10.
You've been cornered behind a sofa with a well-known naturalist.
We'll just sort of start previously and Smith and Sniff. Richard gets trapped behind a sofa with a well-known crocodile beta, or whatever he calls him.
Beta?
I'm thinking of Steve Irwin, aren't I? Just going out to animals and antagonising them. I think Backshot's been prudent.
Thanks for listening. This will never end if we don't say that.
Yeah.
Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll get complaints because we had that review that said this used to be good and now it's just a podcast about Sade. They'll be back going, well, it used to be a podcast about Sade, now it's just about Marillion.
We haven't mentioned Sade in weeks.